Maybe we can take a little break. People are into that. And play this speech by Kevin Padian.
Yeah, this is another talk of a professor from Berkeley on September 23rd, the day before the statewide walkout that was going to be staged against the budget cuts. He does a good job of explaining the history of budget cuts.
And by the way, I'm not taking calls from anybody right now. We've heard a lot of different perspectives from many different people coming in and out of the studio, some of which want to remain anonymous. So it's not your typical interview process where it's very formal and very rigid and easy to follow. I think it's easy to follow, but for some people who are maybe a little more square, not so much. This is Freak Radio 101.1 FM, Free Radio, Pirate Radio, Santa Cruz. And this is the Out of Control show every Wednesday, 1 to 4. And this is Kevin Padian from his speech at a teach-in at UC Berkeley.
To start us off, Kevin Padian, professor of integrative biology, has been teaching here for 30 years. He is also the curator of the Museum of Paleontology, and the title of his talk is How We Got Into This Mess. Kevin.
Now admit it. Isn't this better than being at Stanford? Yeah, it's a Berkeley tradition. Well, I'm here for a history lesson. In 1978, the people of California sold their kids down the river for real estate. Now, they didn't mean to do this. They didn't even know they were doing it at the time. It happened pretty quickly, and it's still going on. The effects of that are being felt. A lot of this is directly responsible for the current crisis in the California budget situation. But it can be fixed, at least somewhat. You see, in the 1970s, real estate prices in California really began to skyrocket. It seemed like everybody wanted to live here. And property taxes were indexed to the value of your house. So retired people who had bought their houses, like in the 1950s, for about $10,000, suddenly found that their market value was $100,000 and they were paying a lot more tax. Stories like this and some other really complicating historical factors spurred a movement to reduce property taxes, which is one of the main income sources for the state. That culminated in Proposition 13 being placed on the ballot in 1978. Now, whether or not you support Proposition 13, and about two-thirds of the voters did then and still do, you should know about its effects. First of all, Proposition 13 limited the amount of property tax that could be collected to 1% of the assessed value of the house. And it stipulated that these values could not go up more than 2% per year. Second, it mandated that new taxes could not be approved without a two-thirds majority of the legislature, nor could a state budget be approved except with a two-thirds majority of the legislature. So the effects of this proposition were both immediate and far-ranging. Property tax revenues immediately dropped by an average of 57%. In 5 years, the spending per capita on K-12 students went from third best in the nation to third worst. In 1978, the state had a surplus of $5 billion. The backers of Prop 13 said, we'll never spend that down. It was gone in 2 years. And it's been a boom or bust economy ever since. Meanwhile, real estate prices continued to climb, in part because taxes were lower and people could convince they would buy more house. So this is why I say that the citizens of California sold their kids down the river for real estate. If you think that's silly, look at your home insurance policy sometime. Look at the cost to replace the home versus what the house is assessed at for its market value. It usually is that the first is about half to a third of the second, and that's what we call overvalued. Now, as you've noticed, the two-thirds majority rule also means that the minority in the legislature is twice as powerful as the majority because its interests outweigh two of its opponents. Now, how's that working out? Well, lawmakers who were philosophically committed never to raise taxes currently control the state's economy as a result. A proposition is being introduced to the next ballot that does away with the two-thirds majority requirement for the budget and taxes and says just a simple majority should be required. That would make everyone's vote equal. But meanwhile, we're in a global economic crisis and everyone's in a fix. So what are the leaders of the University of California doing about it? They're raising student fees, which we might as well call tuition because it's beginning to replace the state's contribution to teaching. And they're temporarily cutting the salaries and laying off a lot of people at UC, which is happening to virtually all state agencies. There may be no way around this, but how do we know? This is why the actions of this week are taking place. Tomorrow, professors throughout the UC system are going to hold a series of actions that coincides with the opening of the fall quarter on all campuses except Berkeley. Here are some things to know about it. First of all, it's not a walkout in the traditional sense. Professors are not abandoning their jobs. It's a teach-in, as you've noticed, and this is part of it. Professors all week have been teaching students about the current crisis, its history, its implications. This is a tremendous opportunity for people to inform themselves about the political structure of California's economy, including education. Don't take anyone's word for it. Find out for yourself. Second, this is not about cuts to faculty and staff salaries. It's not about furloughs. It is about, first of all, the loss of instructional support, which has led to fewer classes, fewer GSIs, lecturers, and professors. This will result in a longer time to graduation and higher net costs to many students. No one likes to see their salaries cut, but there are bigger issues here. In hard times, we can all absorb some pain, but this is talking about permanent pain. This is amputation. Second problem here is the continued disinvestment of the state in UC, which Peter alluded to. And this is a very big economic engine. For every dollar the state spends on research, it gets back $3.8 in new investment and returns. The UC system is the main producer of our doctors, engineers, business people, venture capitalists, and other people who build this economy. It makes no sense to disinvest in it. The third thing this is about is the inequities of the cuts and the judgment of the UC executives in making them. Now, you know, maybe these are the right way to do things, but you know, no one understands how the UC president's office calculated rate hikes and salary cuts and why this had to be balanced on the backs of students, faculty, and staff as much as they are. There is simply a lack of transparency. It's difficult for these people to account for what they did. It's a very, very complex situation. Many feel that there are other places where UC could have cut its budget. For example, in the administration, especially in the office of the president. And there are billions of dollars. It's very hard to find out how the office of the president spends its money. It's got a lot of money. But how they spend it is really hard for people to figure out the way it's accounted for. Because they don't do what we do on the campus. It's a different thing. And there are billions of dollars in supposedly restricted funds that now turn out to be not so restricted after all. Many wonder, for example, how these funds can be called restricted when just 2 weeks ago, the university loaned the state $200 million to enable construction to continue on 10 building projects on UC campuses. Now, maybe this is what they were restricted for, but we just don't know. The cuts were made swiftly without much explanation. The other thing this is about, and I think this is the most important thing in the long run, is the lack of consultation with faculty and the threat to shared governance. Now, much of this is just that events overtook things really fast. A lot of what happened with these cuts happened quickly, but it's clear that they weren't well enough planned for, however well they were planned for. There's a concept of shared governance. This is a compact that was formed by President Benjamin Ide Wheeler, the guy whose this building is named for, nearly a century ago. He recognized at the time that the UC faculty really have to have control over matters of teaching and research, and that they should also advise the president and the regents on the administration of these functions. That action made this university the best university in the world today, and it is. But you know this, you know. But last summer, President Udoff asked the regents and got the regents to give him so-called emergency powers that would enable him to enact any cuts he wanted and to suspend any policies he wanted without consultation. Now, that may be a function of how much time, how quickly things have to happen, but because the cuts that are being made on this campus as well as throughout the system directly affect programs in teaching and research, which other people will talk about, they are under the tradition of shared governance. This is what the faculty has to decide to do. They're supposed to be approved by the faculty, and this, in the end, is the biggest threat to the UC system. So what's happening this week? Well, there's a lot of interests at work here. The faculty, staff, students, a number of unions that are involved with UC are all taking part in this action. Now, not all these groups have the same agenda. They're not all concerned with the same thing. Some unions are staging a walkout from their jobs, others are not. Many faculty will support the unions by not crossing picket lines, which means that your classes will be held elsewhere or they'll be rescheduled. Others will come on campus to hold teach-ins. There's lots of things that, but no one wants to hurt the quality of education. No one does. There are no winners here in this. I mean, nobody comes out looking good when these things happen. So something that I think has to be understood is that this systematic cuts in instructional support are really weakening our curricula and our programs. These hikes in tuition and fees are going to change UC from a public to a private university. 10 years ago, the state paid 75% of your educational costs. Now it pays less than 25%. In 1990, undergraduate fees were $2,500. By 2008, 18 years later, they had doubled. Now, that's not scandalous. During the same time, the costs of food, housing, cars, parking, and energy also doubled. But the drop in state support made UC a much poorer system, and I've been watching these cuts ratcheted since I came here in 1980. This is getting worse. The regents intend to enact additional fee increases of 32%, as you know, which will bring fees next year to $10,300. Now, that is a doubling in just 3 years, not 18. Now, many would argue that Berkeley is worth it, if any college is. It's the top-ranked university in the world. These fees apply to all UC campuses, let's remember. They will still be cheaper than many other state universities and most privates. But where will this slide in state support end? In 2004, the UC and CSU systems made a compact with the governor. He promised not to erode state support further, and the universities promised to seek more outside funding. But when last year's financial crisis hit, the governor walked away from the commitment. The commitment has to be restored. The investment has to be shared by everyone in the state. So the most important thing that anyone who agrees with this can do is to consider supporting this proposition to require only a simple legislative majority to enact state budgets and raise taxes or control them or lower them or whatever it takes. Now, this is not going to solve our problems, but it's going to make it hard to blame the same old people. In particular, the proposed doubling of student fees has to be resisted at all costs. This is disastrous for undergraduates, but it's even worse for graduate students. It's crazy for graduate students because they absorb so much of the teaching and training mission of the university. It doesn't cost to educate graduate students. It pays, and they are one-third of the people on our campus. There are other places to find these funds, and the UC leadership has to be forced to find them. We can beat this problem, but we have to work now and work together because time is short. I hope you have a meaningful, educational, and constructive day tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. Back here, FRSC, Freak Radio 101.1. Just going to wind down our conversation about UC budget cuts and crisis, as the people I've had here are probably very busy in their days usually. You know, they've got to get back to organizing and talking to people and being angry. You wanted to just say a few things before we changed to some music and some other interviews?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first I want to thank Freak Radio for letting me be on the air. This place fucking rocks. Also, there's a lot, there's like almost too much information out there. And if you go out and you research the budget cuts, you'll just get a bunch of information, interviews, talks, communiques that everyone in their org is putting out. So just be wary about that and don't get overwhelmed. Some good information out there is SaveCAPublicEducation.org. There's some good WordPresses that I would recommend. Also, if you want to support, come out to March 4th. The plan for UCSC is to shut down campus. So no, the entrances will be blocked off. So if you have class, I wouldn't go, but I would just support. Also bring food, since the dining halls will be shut down, since nobody will be on campus. Also, Cabrillo will be sending buses to Sacramento, and will be staging their own march there.
I just wanted to say thank you. I'm really glad that this was a medium that we could get the message out there and more information about what's going on with this current struggle and this movement. I know that I have gotten really discouraged in the past about these cuts. They feel really devastating, and it's definitely been a strategy, I think, by the ruling class to do these all at the same time. So I definitely understand if people are feeling frustrated or discouraged. But definitely, like, we have the ability to come together in numbers and fight these in force, and that's really inspiring, and we have the ability to do that as of now. So if you're able to, if you're around, if you have the time, please come out to the Student and Worker Forum this evening at Kresge 159, the seminar room at Kresge College, at UCSC, from 5 to 7 p.m. to have a dialogue about how to get connected.
Thank you both very much, and the people who are here, giving thanks to them. Now we're going to play some music, and in between the music, I think I'll announce our phone lines so that if anybody who has been listening in wants to talk to us, voice some concerns, share their urgencies, you're open to do that. People are laughing at me for saying that, probably globally. Here's some music.
All the crimes committed day by day, no one tried to stop it in any way. All the peacemakers turn the war officers.
Radio 101.1 FM, Santa Cruz, California, broadcasting live from our studio. You can call us in the studio at 427-3772 or at 469-3119. Give us a call. Let us know what you think and what you feel. We're done with our talk about the UC budget crisis. Maybe someone will call in. Maybe for the last hour, we'll talk about why the Olympics suck, why nothing should be built on stolen native land, and listen to some voices in resistance currently in Vancouver, BC area, as the Olympics are happening right now.
We hate your politics, we hate your pose, and we hate the way you smell. 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna fuck up Nicaragua. I don't consider a president. I'm here about the firm white kids trying to show they got faster. Politics are boring. Yeah, politics are fucking boring. But my spies are big, few, and these aren't the revolution.
eat your politics, you eat your pros, and we ate the way you smell. 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna fuck about Nicaragua. I'm gonna fuck about Nicaragua. I'm gonna fuck about Nicaragua. I'm gonna fuck about Nicaragua.
Mais moi là, premier bail qui vient dans la tête, moi, mais bon, je ne songe pas à me montrer mon petit somme. L'éternel est mon berger, je ne manquerai de rien. Là, les quoi au moins, Jacques, Jérémie, Rila, la gauche. Bon, je voyais un message pour Haïti, Miami. Le monde entier, Canada. Put bad boy. Tendez. Souguez oreilles, tendez. Souguez bouche, parlez. Si y'a pas ça, pays en liba couler. Quand couillon bateau qui plein réfugié. Sinon pas changer, bon Dieu, encore. Souguez oreilles, tendez. Souguez bouche, parlez. Si y'a pas ça, pays dans l'Iban coulé, quand couillon bateau qui plein réfugié, Israël cherche bon Dieu, tendez.
10 000 chacun, gardez toutes ces timons, prêts à prier.
Chachez bon Dieu, encore, sous quelles oreilles, tendez, sous quelles bouches, parlez, si il est pas ça, pays non libre, quand couillon bateau qui fait réfugié, Israël, chachez bon Dieu, moi, croyons haïtien, qui tape de marijuana, police de Kempel. Si c'est pour d'être maman qui a un cancer, qui va gagner l'argent, qui a l'île en prison, pour combien de temps? La problème des révolutions, sans solution. Mais police au dépassé, moi t'es dans des blocs. Là, sous quelles oreilles tendues, sous quelles bouches parlées, si c'est pas ça, pays non libéral coulé, quand couillon bateau qui plaît réfugié. Monsieur, suspendu, si oui, en bas, sous quelles oreilles, tendez, si on gagne bouche, parlez, si c'est pas ça, pays non libre, couler, quand couillon bateau qui plein réfugié, haïtien, chercher bon Dieu, et puis moi petit, moi t'es connu, Genèse, moi boxé avec Satan, quand on boxé avec Chavez, mais gagne l'esprit me fait. Moi dis pour qui ça politicien yon fume zèb. Tante, ma patake non ka kouyon diep. Pour qui ça, passe ou pas kon fèr bon zèb. Moi kon non politicien yon rele malèb. Malè avec ou sou teste kalèb. Louga ou yon va manjou kon kou yon manje kenèb. Dikwaz non moudon kon kou cheval kap nan prèd. Tante, même dans l'église ou frère prête pour qui ça. Politicien par l'étranger prêt. Yélé, yélé, yélé.